I want to continue sharing with you about why you must be anointed. Amen. Amen. Two Sundays ago, I began to share with you the subject, and then I took a break or a pause for Easter, and I'm going right back to it. Amen. Amen. Do you want to sit over there? Okay. All right. Amen. So I want to continue sharing with you about this very important subject. And the last time I gave you some few reasons why you need to be anointed. Now, I remember laying a foundation that many people think that when we speak about anointing, then you must be talking about a preacher. Do you see?
Yeah.
So, as long as you are not a preacher, and especially if you don't intend to be a preacher. See, there are some people who are not preachers, but they intend to be preachers and hope that one day God will use them. Are there any people like that here? One day God will use you. Only one person. Oh, I see. I said, well, how many would like to be able to preach just one day? Just preach even a 5-minute sermon that changes somebody's life. Raise up your hand, let me see. Wow. Okay. Wow. I see. Amen. It's very good. Amen. Wow. I would have been very disappointed because what it would mean is that all of you pity me. Means all of you feel sorry for me. You never want to be me. Hallelujah. But it's good that many of you want to be preachers. Amen. Now, I was sharing with you that anointing is not only for preaching. Hallelujah. Because when you consider the effects of an anointing on someone, you know, you begin to realize that if this is what the anointing does, then the anointing must be useful, or more useful for many other things and more applications than preaching. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. If you begin to understand the effects of being anointed, that when someone has the Spirit of God upon him, which is what we mean by you are anointed. Do you understand? The effects on the person, you know, I gave you some examples. For example, one of the examples, 1 Samuel chapter 6. 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 6. You know, Shegun, we miss your verse sharing. So, today that you are here, you have to be generous. Okay. Ha. And this is where you start. Okay. L'esprit de... I mean, Shegun, what have I done to you? It's too early. I need to warm up before the French comes. You get it? Yeah. Good. All right. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you mightily, and you will show yourself to be a prophet with them, and you will be turned into another man. Now, think about this. If this is one of the effects of the anointing on a person, is it only for preaching that a person needs to be turned into another man? Think about it. Is it only when it comes to preaching that we realize that people need to change? Is it only for preaching purposes that you need someone to change into a different person? Is it not the case that sometimes when you're raising children, you wish this my child must change into a different person? Even before we talk about such advanced applications, what about yourself? Do you not get tired of yourself sometimes? You get tired of the old, usual, everyday you. You get sick and tired of repeating the same mistakes over and over and over again. Sometimes you don't even like yourself. Your thing is coming. Sometimes you can recognize that this is the trend. Your thing is coming. You understand? Because it responds to a certain set of circumstances, when certain things line up a certain way, then yourself starts to arrive and manifest in a certain way, which even you don't like. Yeah. You don't like, because you don't like the way it leaves you. You don't like the way it leaves everybody around you. You don't like the way it drives everybody away from you. You don't like the way it sets everybody up to talk about you. You don't like it. So even you need to change into another man, and you know it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Bible says one of the things that causes that is the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. So you're making a big mistake if you start to think that, oh, you know, I'm not a preacher, so I don't need the Spirit to come upon me. The Spirit should be upon him, you see, because he is the pastor and he is the one who does the preaching. And then we will just sit down and listen to him. But I don't want no Spirit on me. You're making a mistake. You will never change as you ought to change if the Spirit does not come upon you. Says the Spirit will come upon you and he will turn you into another person. You will not recognize yourself. You will look back at your past and say, is this me? You will only have a recollection of who you used to be and what you used to do. Hallelujah. One day I heard someone talking about himself, or was it herself? You know, the person was just talking and referring to, you know, I think somebody was misbehaving. You know, and as she looked at the person, she just said, if it had been some time ago. do you understand? She could just see right there the change. She could see that I've become another person. You get it? That there was a season in my life when I did not suffer fools gladly. I did not suffer. Such behavior would not thrive in my presence and flourish as it is now. But now look at me, in front of me, look at what he's doing. You see that the Spirit has come upon you and you have been changed into another man. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. Talk about people who can't keep money. I mean, as you see it, you have to spend it. Yeah. Once you can see it, it has to be spent. Hey! You have to chop it until there's nothing left. Then you enter into a state of equilibrium. That's how you balance. But now you look at you and something has changed in you. You can see that something has... You don't know what, and you don't even know when it happened. But you just know that the you that you're looking at... I mean, that you can actually walk to the mall and come back with nothing. Wow. You just attended a Healing Jesus crusade and you just experienced miracle. Because that has never been you. That has never been you. Hallelujah. There's some people, anybody who comes near you, you have to fight with the person. Hey, you won't know where the fight comes from. You just know it comes. And you find something wrong, you criticize, you pick at the person, you pick them apart, you just scatter everybody around you, and then when everyone is gone, you start to rest. Yeah. Because no one can come near you. You have to just manifest. Hey! And you always find a reason to quarrel with somebody. See, so you need to change. And you know you need to change. But the agent of change is not a strong will. It's not a New Year resolution. Do you understand? The agent of change is the Holy Spirit who comes on a person and causes the person to do something that he could not do before. Hallelujah. And that is the Holy Spirit. So that's one of the reasons why you need to be anointed. That when we talk about anointing, it must be of interest to you. See, because preaching is just one of the applications. So the anointing, yes, it turns people into preachers. That is true. Because they were not preachers before. So the anointing has come and it made them into preachers. But just as it turned a non-preaching person into a preaching person, it can also turn a non-loving person into a loving person. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It can turn someone who is very quarrelsome into a peaceful, you know, person that human beings can coexist with, you know, for a considerable length of time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. So you need the anointing. And that is the reason why he said in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. We were reading Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Le Zechariah chapitre 4. Verse says, okay. Shigun, you owe us in this church, so don't bring yourself at all this morning. All right. Is it coming? All right, I'll read it from mine to you until Shigun retraces his steps on the computer. Hallelujah. All right. The book of Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Hallelujah. Then he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." Amen. Amen. Then he says, "Who are you, O great mountain? Who are you, O great mountain?" Before Zerubbabel, you know, that's the next verse, verse 7. Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain. Hallelujah. He will bring forth the top stone with shouts of grace, grace unto it. Hallelujah. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain. That means you become nothing. Hallelujah. Amen. Notice he's saying this just after he has told Zerubbabel. You see, go back to verse 6. He's saying to Zerubbabel, you know, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, you put your name, Zerubbabel is like, you put your name there, you know, and let's put a nice name like Yehuda. Over there. All right. And it says, you see, everyone agrees it's a powerful name, isn't it? So who art thou? He says, this is the word of the Lord unto Yehuda, saying, not by might. So if you don't have any, don't worry. Do you get it? Not by power. Means if you don't have power, it's not a problem. It does not affect anything at all in this. Then he says, it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Now, if you don't have that one, then you have a problem. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's a pity that we spend our time acquiring this and that without this. And the Bible says, it's not by this or that, but by my spirit. That's what you need to have. Do you understand? This is what the Lord, that saith the Lord of hosts. That's what the Lord of hosts is his name. It means the Lord of armies. And he says that it's not by might. I mean, when the Lord of armies is saying it's not by might, you better believe it. Do you understand? When the Lord of armies is saying that it's not by might, or is it by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Then the next verse, he turns to the mountain. And then he says, who are you, mountain? Who are you, mountain? What is your name, problem? What is your name, challenge? He says that before Yehuda, you will become a plain as though you were not there. Wow. That's what is about to happen. And he's saying this because he knows what he has just told Yehuda. That, listen, spend some time developing the spirit. Do you understand? That it's not by might or by power, but it's by my spirit. Then he turns to the problem and says that before this person who is coming to you in the power of my spirit, not with might or power, but before this person, you will become like you were not there. You will become a plane. It says, who are you? You name yourself and come forward. So we overcome challenges and difficulties in our lives. We will overcome them by the anointing.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And that is the reason why last week I showed you so many, last time I was sharing this with you, I showed you so many people who wouldn't make a move without the anointing. Do you understand? One of them was the, let's go back to it. I think I gave you, how many reasons did I give you? Seven. Number one, no one can fulfill their mission in life by natural might or by power, isn't it? Number two was what? Even Jesus Christ waited to be anointed before beginning his ministry, isn't it? For the same reason, because it's not by power or by might, isn't it? Yeah, it's not by power or by might, but by my spirit. So Jesus Christ said, if the spirit has not come, we are not starting. Hallelujah. We're not starting anything until the spirit comes. Do you see? Then number three is what? The apostles. The apostles had to wait for the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, wait for the Holy Spirit. Don't start. I mean, when you have a lot of work to do, you know that early to start, early to finish. You get it? So if you've been given this whole hotel to clean up, and you're supposed to clean this whole hotel before the day is out, and then they say you should wait. You should wait. Wait for what? Let's start now. Do you understand? But if it's a vacuum cleaner they are bringing you, you will know it's worth waiting for. Yeah, because once you start with your Ghana broom and start to sweep, do you know how we used to sweep? We used to sweep like that, this way. Then you turn around. Then you go this way. You see? Yeah. Then you turn around. And then you go this way. Yeah. Then after that, you come this way. And then you go like that. And so when you, and while you're sweeping, your little brother will come and walk across. And you get angry at him because you're admiring the design. You get it? Yeah, as you're sweeping, you like the design that you're making on the floor. So this little brother who keeps walking with his footsteps across it, he is very annoying. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you're going to use your broom to start sweeping from this room, and finish over there and go to the... I mean, you're not going to finish this thing now. But you see, sometimes we're in a hurry to start in manual mode. Even though we know it doesn't take us anywhere. You work and work and work and try and try and try. And you still realize that nothing seems to respond to your efforts. Your efforts are not bringing anything. Then you begin to understand that waiting for the Holy Spirit, even however long it takes, is worth waiting for. You see, and the Lord knew it. The Lord knew that, look, the preaching and the work that I've assigned to these disciples, they are not going to be able to accomplish it without the Holy Spirit. They will not be able to do anything. And so I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you someone who's going to help you to accomplish it. And wait for the person. Don't start. Okay, we'll start. Whenever he comes, he'll join us. No, 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 no. It's not like that. Don't start. Don't start until he comes. Then he must be very important. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If the apostles had to wait for him to start, then you need him also to start. Hallelujah. You need him. You need him in your life. You should not underestimate your need to be anointed as a Christian and as a child of God. Amen. Then the next reason was what? Great prophets like Elisha asked for the anointing when they had the opportunity to ask for whatever they wanted. Amazing. Someone who could have asked for money, could have asked for a car, could have asked for a green card, could have asked for a house, could have asked for a beloved, you know. Because we don't read anywhere that Elisha was married. Do you see what I'm saying? So at least when the man said, ask anything, he could just have said, you know, please, one, just one thing. Anybody I propose to, please, just let him, let her say yes. Because the guy was bald. Did you know that?
Yeah.
When you read the story, see, he was so bald, some children were laughing at him. You get it? Now, if he was that bald and people were laughing at him, it is possible that it could have, it may have interfered with. Certain opportunities that he could have had. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So he could have asked for that. But he said, no. I just want a double portion of your spirit. I don't want anything. I don't want your house. I don't want your car. I mean, when someone is about to go to heaven and they ask you, what do you want? Means everything they have is up for grabs. So it's your chance to become a landlord. It's a chance to have inherit a car. It's a chance to inherit his bank account. It's a chance to inherit anything he has because he's going. And he says, take anything you want. He says, no, I don't want any of these things. I want the spirit that is upon you. I want it times two. Yeah. What is on you? What is on you? I want that times two. Because if he had any sense, he would know that, you know, everything the man had come because of the anointing that was on him. Amen. Yeah, it had come because of, I mean, a man who could pray and shut up the heavens. And says, there'll be no rain. 3 years and a half, no rain. Then he comes back and says, now rain is coming and the rain is coming. I want what is on him. It's better to have what is on him than to buy an umbrella. No. Hallelujah. It's the same guy who went to a widow's house and the widow had no food. And he said, you give me your last food to eat. The woman gave it to him to eat. He ate the food. And the Bible says, rather than running out, the food multiplied. And the woman began to have a lot of food. Now such a person says, ask me for what you want. And you go and ask him, can you give me some of the food you made? No, I want the power that makes the food. Yeah. And I want it times two. Because, you know, if it can make breakfast, I want it to make breakfast and lunch. Yeah, times two. Hallelujah. Because in life, you need more than one meal. So I see that there's something on you that makes food. Yeah. I want that thing times two. So that it can make breakfast and can make dinner also. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So this something must be very important. And then number six was who? Or number five was Saul. Transformed into another man until he was anointed. Then number six is that David, all his blessings to the anointing. And then number seven. Moses said, I ain't going nowhere if your spirit is not coming with me. Hallelujah. Says, I'm not going anywhere. It's amazing how we get up and stumble in with confidence into life and step into our day with confidence, caring less about the spirit. We just step out, well, Holy Spirit, I don't know, maybe he's still sleeping at home or something, but I'm out. I've got to get to work at 7, so I'm going. No. There's nothing like Holy Spirit. Let's go together. Holy Spirit, be with us today. Holy Spirit, lead me and guide me. Holy Spirit, I need your presence. Just to take 2 minutes to acknowledge the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says, in all your ways, if you acknowledge him, he will direct your path. Do you understand? In all your ways, acknowledge him, he will direct your path. The Holy Spirit is a bit like Siri over here. See, this Siri here, she knows a lot of things. Yeah. She knows a lot of things. When you engage her, Then she'll ask you the question, what can I help you with? Do you see what I'm saying? But not until you engage her.
Okay. Yeah, that's
do you see? So as I'm standing here, I have a helper right here who can tell me what the temperature is right now, but not until I ask. But she's with me all the time. I brought her from home. She didn't tell me the temperature. Came to the church with me, didn't say anything. Has been around and continues to be around. Until I ask her. You see? What is the temperature now? That's it. But not until you acknowledge the person. Are you getting what I'm saying? Not until you acknowledge and engage. And many of us just wake up and we step out into our day and we leave the Holy Spirit out of our business. We don't concern ourselves. We don't think that the Holy Spirit is of any use even in our day-to-day lives. You know, I'm getting ready to share with you 15 powerful effects of the Holy Spirit, you know, and I don't think we'll be able to get through them today. But next Sunday, I'm going to continue sharing with you about this subject, and I want you to come. Hallelujah. Because you begin to see that in your day-to-day life, you need the Holy Spirit. You really do. It's not just some spiritual church, something that church people just talk about. I'm talking about something that you really do need.
Amen.
In a real, practical, and truthful way. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You need the Holy Spirit to help you. If the Holy Spirit was not useful, Jesus would not leave him here with us. He says, I'm going away, but I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you someone who will be with you and who will be in you. Hallelujah. Without whom you can't really do anything. Amen. So let me just start sharing those things with you. I think my time is up already, but let me share at least one or two with you. Number one, about the Holy Spirit. The anointing, why you need the anointing. The anointing will result in or will provide or produce supernatural help for your life. Supernatural help for your life will come to you through the anointing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, Psalm 89 and verse 19. Psalm 89. If you read Psalms number 89. Psalms number 89. Okay. Hallelujah. Psalm number 89 and verse 19. He says, Then thou speakest in vision to thy Holy One and said, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David, my servant. Then with my holy oil have I anointed him. Can you see that? I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established, mine arm also shall strengthen him. Amen. So he's saying that I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have helped somebody who is mighty. Then he says, I have exalted one chosen out of the people. And then he says, I have found David my servant, and with my holy oil I have anointed him. In other words, All these other things that are being said are other ways of describing what you have done to a person when you have anointed him. Do you see what I'm saying? So he's saying that I have laid health. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one that is chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil I have anointed him. Hallelujah. So what it means is that when God anoints somebody, what God has done for that person is that he has laid help. He has provided help for the person. Amen. He has laid help. He has exalted that person. He says, I have found David. I have selected this person. And I have poured my spirit upon him. I have anointed him. The holy oil is just a symbol. Amen. It's just a symbol. It's like it's like when they put, let's say they have a beauty contest. Do you see? They have the beauty contest and then they select someone who is a winner. Then when the winner comes forth, she's just a regular person like anybody else. Then they put the crown on the person. Now, the crown is not what confers the beauty. Do you understand? That the crown simply is just an outward confirmation. It's just something we do to separate this one from that one. To say that this is the one who won the contest. So as far as all the parameters and whatever we use for selection is concerned, this is the one who best meets it. And we are putting the crown on this head. So the crown is just a symbol. So anybody you see wearing the crown is the one who is the beauty contest. Or who won the beauty contest. Or is the beauty queen for that matter. Are you getting the picture? Yeah. So we use things like that just to symbolize something. And he says that I have put the holy oil on this one. So with the holy, because the holy oil came on this one, we are saying that the anointing has come on that same person. But the anointing is not the oil per se. Do you get it? Otherwise, all of us who put in butter and things like that on our bread, you know, you wake up for breakfast, you just spread, you know, butter on your thing, you know, I'm anointed. That's not the anointing. Do you understand? Yeah. Or that you put oil on your skin so that your skin will not dry up after you've had a shower. That's not the anointing. Although another word for doing that is anointing yourself. That's applying the oil to yourself. But the anointing is the Spirit himself. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. The anointing is the Spirit. So when he has anointed, he said, as I have anointed him, I have actually laid help for him. Amen. Amen. When you are walking in an anointing, or when you're walking as an anointed Christian, what God is giving you is a lot of supernatural help. And we all need a lot of supernatural help. Hallelujah. Amen. We all know when we've come to the end of what we can do. And from this point on, if you don't get a supernatural intervention, it will not be good. Hallelujah. Amen. So the anointing exposes you and makes you have access to supernatural help. Amen. How many would like some supernatural help beyond yourself? Supernatural help. Extra power. Amen. And I think the last time I was giving you the example of a power tool. You know, one of those power things that would drive a screwdriver into a screw into the wall real quick. You know, the other way to do it is just the manual one. You just 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. Sometimes you even reach the limit and you think it's finished. But when you put a power tool to it, you see there's a lot more thread left in the thing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So when your human abilities, sometimes when your mental capabilities, do you see, when your intelligence stops, hallelujah, the anointing is able to put you supernaturally in places beyond your education. Hallelujah. The anointing is able to put you in places beyond your training, beyond what you know, beyond what you have formally studied. The anointing carries you You know, because your education and your training bring you up to a point, if it brings you at all. Because there's a lot of education that doesn't bring anybody anywhere. There's so many people who are gone to school, you know, and they've paid monies and so many things, but you still don't get what you actually went to the school to get. But the anointing is able to give it even to people who don't have that training.
Amen.
How much more you who has that training?
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? So we need that supernatural help. We need the supernatural help, that extra help that comes from a source that cannot be explained, that is stronger than you, stronger than your qualifications, stronger than your intelligence, stronger than your connections, something that transcends all of that and still confers on you benefits and privileges that you otherwise did not deserve. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Then number two, the anointing will cause you to be raised up to heights in life. Isn't that what the verse says? It said, I have exalted one that is chosen from the people. So the anointing exalts you. The anointing causes you to be raised up. It causes you to be set apart. It allows you to be respected. Hallelujah. It promotes you. It lifts you up above your peers. The anointing sets you apart and makes you into a great person. Hallelujah. And I see that as we begin to pursue, because I'm going to show you some of the things you're going to have to do, some of the steps to the anointing. Do you understand? Because the anointing is like upstairs. There are many ways to get there. Do you see what I'm saying? You can take these steps, will bring you there. This one will also bring you there. This one will also bring you to a part of it. This one will bring you to another part of it. So it's like a building or a destination with many different access points. Hallelujah. And I need to show you some of those access points so that you can be anointed. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? But the anointing will exalt you. It will make you, it will lift you up. Hallelujah. The anointing will promote you beyond where your family background places you. Hallelujah. Where your education places you, where your training places you, where your accent places you. The anointing is able to push you beyond the barriers created by your accent. Amen. Do you understand? Some of those barriers are strong. You need a power that is stronger than that to be able to break through those barriers and land you in the place in spite of your strong accent. Hey, you'll be there, you'll be speaking, they won't understand that you are there. I tell you. You are in the board meeting. I say, when you are speaking, they are asking transcribe. Someone should just translate what he's saying. Meanwhile, it's English you are speaking. And somebody is just wondering, how did you get into the boardroom? Say, yeah, but you are there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The anointing is able to do that. The anointing is able to raise you up and set you up to stand with people who otherwise look down on you. Amen. The anointing can make you a manager at your job.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. The anointing can make you a manager. You see, we were reading one day recently about Daniel. In Daniel chapter, let's read it real quick. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Shagun, you're waiting for a verse, right? Well, I don't know it myself. So you have to wait. All right. Daniel chapter 6. Okay. Now, I think the verse I'm looking for is, now this Daniel, okay, verse 3. It says, then this Daniel, chapter 6 and verse 3, this Daniel began distinguishing himself among, all right, let's read it from here. This Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. Do you see? Because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Can you see that? Yeah. He says that Daniel was preferred. If you read from verse 1, it says it pleased Darius. Verse 1. Darius is the name of the king. Let's read verse 1, 2, and then 3 quickly. It says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. You see, he was going to divide the whole kingdom into 120 provinces, and he was going to set a prince over each province. Then the next one, verse 2. And over these three presidents, so he was going to divide the 120 into three, isn't it? So 40, 40, 40. He was going to have three presidents, of whom Daniel was first. Do you see? So the province is divided into 120. The 120 is divided into three groups. And Daniel is his first choice for leading one of the groups of 40. Okay? And then it says that the princes might give accounts unto them, and that the king should have no damage. Then this is followed by verse 3. It says, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes. You see, this is now beyond qualification, because qualification has brought all of them to the same place. Do you understand? But now the anointing is going to shoot Daniel above where the qualification brings everybody, to make him the preferred choice. So he says, the king preferred Daniel above the presidents and princes, not because his resume or his qualification was from a different school. Do you understand that? It was not because his MBA was from Harvard. That's not the thing. Now, his MBA from Harvard brought him already what it could bring him. But you see, he must have had classmates, because as you can see, he's not the only person who has been chosen. So you see that other people also have that qualification, and that brings them all to the same place. But at the same place, beyond education, there is a place where the king gets to exercise a personal preference. Do you understand? And he likes somebody in particular. And the Bible says, this time it wasn't because of qualification, but that an excellent spirit was in him. Now, this excellent spirit, you can't easily copy it. So if you're one of Daniel's colleagues, you can't compete with him by saying, okay, let me copy the excellent spirit. Where is the spirit? Let me copy it. It's not like that. We're talking about something that is in the person. Do you understand? It's something that is in the person. An excellent spirit was in him. And now because of that, the king thought to set him over the whole realm. So now this level of promotion, this next step, is not going to be caused by another qualification from school. This next step is coming about as a result of an anointing on a person that makes him attractive to the one who makes that kind of a decision, who can make a decision that will change his life. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? You need the anointing, because the anointing will cause you to be raised. It will elevate you. The anointing will cause you to be lifted up among the same people doing the same job with the same qualifications. The anointing is going to cause you to be raised up and lifted. Hallelujah. What happened to Pastor Monene? Well, I'm just closing anyway, so. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? What I'm sharing with you is very, very important. You see, many people, they get to a place, and then they feel that maybe if I can just go for this other qualification also. Do you see? If I can just do this, and if I can just do this. And they just keep going to school, and going to school, and going to school, and it's not making a difference. Because at a point, it's not even more schooling you need per se. Do you understand? But at a point, you need that something that makes people look at you and say, we don't know why, but we prefer you. Among similarly qualified people, you seem to be our preferred choice. You are the one we want. And he says, an excellent spirit was in him. Hallelujah. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. So they were thinking about promoting him. So one day his people would just be there and they would just receive an announcement. They would all be called into a meeting and they say, it's been decided that Mr. Daniel is now going to be in charge of all of you. And somebody's going to say, what? Because Daniel was an immigrant. Do you understand that? With an accent, yes. Do you see? And others are going, no wonder they got so jealous of him. If you read the story after, you see the Bible says they sought an occasion. They were so bored, they could not believe it. How can this person be set over us? And say, let's set a trap for him. Let's bring him down. Let's go and tell the king something he didn't do right. And they started to look for an occasion against Daniel, and they couldn't find anything. Then they said, the only way we can get it is to get it, is find something that has to do with his relationship with God. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's how they went about doing it. And in the end, Daniel ended up in the lion's den. But even from there, when he came back, he was now promoted higher. The whole thing had become... whole thing had become worse. Can I have an amen? Do you see how important the anointing is? So school is great, but on top of your education, add anointing. Amen. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, because if you didn't go to school, you would not even get to be one of the princes at all. Do you see? You'd be one of the ones who polish the shoes of the princes. But that's as close as you get to the being a prince. But after you've gone there and the thing has set you up among a certain people, there is a place, the next step is now coming for a different reason. And that is the anointing. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm going to stop here today, but next week I'm going to show you more effects of the anointing on your life. Amen. How many are going to come and hear that message? So should I come and preach it? Okay, I'll come, because as for this church, it's one draw. You don't come, I don't come. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet, everybody, and let's pray. Hallelujah. Just bow your heads, everybody, and sing, come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, sweet spirit, I pray. Then sing, come with your strength. Come in your strength and your power. Then come in your own special way. Come in your own special way. Come on, sing it again, everybody. Sing, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Oh, come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Oh, yes, Lord. Please come in your strength and your power. I need you. Come in your own special way. Sing it again. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Holy Spirit, come in your strength and your power. Oh, come in your own special way. Holy Spirit, you are welcoming this place. Holy Spirit, you are welcoming this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, you are welcome in this place. Sing it, everybody. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, you are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, you are welcome in this place. Sing, Omnipotent Father. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, you are welcome in this place. Lift up your hand to him and begin to pray and say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place, meaning my life. You are welcome in this environment, in my life, in my heart, in my home, in my personal issues and things that concern me. Lord, you are welcome. Your contribution is welcome. You are welcome in my life. You are welcome to change things, to change me, to move things around in my life, and to let them be as they should be. In the name of Jesus. Come on, pray, everybody. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, you are welcome in this place. Oh, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, you are welcome in this place. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just begin to pray and say, Lord, I thank you for your Spirit. I receive your Spirit. Holy Spirit, I want to acknowledge you today. Say, Holy Spirit, I acknowledge my disregard for you and your contribution to my life. But today, I want to acknowledge you. Everything is changing about me today and the Holy Spirit. Everything is changing about my understanding of who you are. Everything is changing about my thoughts on what you are supposed to do in my life. Everything is changing on my perception of who you are. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, Lord. Makaboro moro mushatali alababayam. Holy Spirit, omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, you are welcome in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your blessing. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. We acknowledge, Lord, that we have despised the Holy Spirit. We have neglected the Holy Spirit and his contribution in our lives. But today we come to you and we ask, Lord, that you will forgive us in the name of Jesus. We do not want to live another day without the Holy Spirit and his contribution in our lives. We do not want to live another week, oh God, without the Holy Spirit and his contribution in our lives. We pray, Lord, that you help us to be conscious of the Holy Spirit all the time. We pray, Lord, that you help us not to grieve the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Help us, oh God, to walk with the Holy Spirit and his contribution in our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Hallelujah.